based on what Paul has written in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 15, 16, and 17. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. This morning, as we consider Christian maturity, I want us to understand, first of all, that you do not have to be any specific age in order to be mature spiritually. There are some who believe that unless you have gray hair, you cannot be mature spiritually. That is not so. There can be a high degree of Christian maturity reached early in one's life. It is a result of spiritual growth. It is a result of spiritual activity. It is a result of what one is, what one does, and what one seeks to be in Christ and in the service of Christ. I want us to think first of maturity in mind, then maturity in walk, and then maturity in Christian example. All of these areas of maturity are emphasized by Paul as he writes to the church at Philippi. In our last study, we noticed how Paul had soared as he inquired in and spoke of his relationship to Jesus Christ. He gloried in winning Christ, and he prayed that he might win Christ. And by this, Paul meant that he wanted to renounce the poverty of himself and in so doing become eligible to gain and win all that Christ has to offer. Jesus had said, unless a man is willing to forsake all and follow me, he cannot be my disciple. And this is what Paul is saying. I intend and I pray and I desire to forsake all those things that hinder me from being where Jesus is and doing what he wants me to do. I want to win him, to gain him, to attain a certain spiritual maturity. He said, I want to know him. I want to know him. You'll notice that Paul did not say, I want to feel him. But he said, I want to know him. And the word that's translated know certainly emphasizes knowledge, de-emphasizes emotion, or what some have called being spiritual. Paul said, I want to gain knowledge. I literally want to, by my knowledge, to experience Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to, by the knowledge that I possess of Jesus Christ, to become a fellow person in his suffering. That is, to literally share in his suffering and to become one with him in his death. Paul said, I want my knowledge to be so established and so based upon that which is reality and truth that I will become like Christ and experience him because I know him. Now, Paul denies that he has reached or attained that particular goal. He writes in verse 12 that I have not attained. And he explicitly states, I have not attained and I am not perfect. And there are some who believe that through some emotional experience, we can reach a state of spiritual perfection. And that once this state of spiritual perfection has been attained, we no longer are capable of sinning or displeasing God. That we might do something wrong, but we're in a state of perfect relationship to God and a state of perfection. In fact, some even deny that they sin any longer. This is what Paul is saying. He's saying, I have not attained and I am not perfect. But then Paul said, I haven't quit either. I have not attained this state of knowledge that I desire of Christ. I am not perfect. But he said in verse 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That is, I have not seized upon this state. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He says, I am like a runner. I'm like a person running a race. I've not finished, I've not crossed the line, but I'm stretched out for the prize. I'm running hard, I'm striving. I'm literally lunging at the finish line that I may reach the prize of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. It is the high calling of God, Paul said, in Christ Jesus for us to reach this prized state of Christian maturity. God blesses it. God rewards us for having accomplished the winning of this high prize. That is the high calling of God. Some have said that this word high calling comes from the fact that when a man won a race, the king didn't come down to the stadium and crown him, but the one who had run the race was allowed to come up into the presence of the king and be crowned. He called him up higher. And the attaining of this which Paul has mentioned and the winning of this prize that Paul said is the most valuable prize that men might ever seek to win, it's not a prize that will be bestowed upon us in the arena of life, but it is a prize that will be bestowed upon us when the high calling occurs. That is, when the Lord calls us up to meet Him. The person who glories in what they once were have missed Paul's teaching. And I've noticed there is a tendency for people to emphasize what they have been to the church, to emphasize what they once gave, to emphasize what they once suffered, to emphasize what all they once did for the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, they seem to say we have reached a stage of maturity where it's no longer necessary for us to engage in things like this. Oftentimes people say, my children are grown, so I really have no reason now to work in the area of young people, to encourage them. In other words, I'm older in years and I really reached the state of maturity now when I don't really go to church regular. I don't really participate in things anymore. If you're not doing more than you did 5 years ago, if you're not studying more, if you're not praying more, if you're not witnessing more, if you're not doing more, then you have not reached maturity. You're laboring now at a lesser state than you once were. It's not possible that God's people can get to a point where they do less and claim maturity. If we're not doing more, we cannot claim the maturity that Paul is speaking of here. So, well, when you're young, you've got children, you ought to really be active in church. But you get a little bit older, it's really not necessary. That's an absurdity. It's an untruth. It's unscriptural. It's ungodly. It's hellish. There may be certain physical difficulties involved in being older, and there certainly are. But they never imply that we should become less to God. So Christian maturity is not a matter of just getting to the point where we don't have to do anything anymore and go into some sort of remission and draw our spiritual social security that we put into it in days past. Paul didn't say, I've been a missionary and now it's time to lay this aside. I've taught the Word of God and now it's time to lay that aside. And I have suffered and now it's time to lay this aside. Paul said, I realize I have done these things, but there is still a perfection. There is a completeness. There is a maturity that I seek in the work of God and in my knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I'm stretching for that. That is what I seek, and God is leading and calling me to this, and He will crown me with a prize if I keep seeking this maturity. Paul said there is a maturity in mind that a Christian ought to possess. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And we've just said, Paul said he didn't claim to be perfect, and now he states in verse 15, but as many as of us that be perfect, let us mind all the same things. Paul means in this word that's translated perfection in verse 15, maturity. Full in age. Doesn't mean without any flaws. It has in it the idea of someone who displays the graces of those who have grown and reached a certain point in thinking, where they think clearly and maturity. Paul said, I hope all of you who are mature Christians will see eye to eye with me in these things. Paul wanted them to accept the truths that he had just revealed. And he's saying now, as many as us that have reached this certain maturity, then let us recognize that we believe the same things, that we have a unity of belief. And Paul said, if someone doesn't really understand or comprehend, then God will reveal this to him. He recognizes that there be some who do not agree, who have not yet comprehended. He does not say that this is good or inevitable. He simply says this is the truth. If you keep thinking about it, you will come up with the same answer. What's he talking about? What are they going to agree on? They're going to agree on these concepts that he has just listed, on these truths that he's just explained, that there is in all of us room for growth. There is in all of us an area of improvement. There is in us, in all of us, or should be a desire to reach out and become more and greater. I think he's emphasizing that mature Christians will be close in doctrine. They will not be exact clones of a preacher, and we should give others time to learn and grow. There is one faith. There is one Lord. There is one baptism. There is the faith once and for all delivered unto the saints. I believe that it is a Bible teaching that we grow into the faith. We are born into the family. We must never conclude that simply because we have been born into the family of God that we are then in the faith of God. For the faith of God is something that we gain by study, by learning, by knowing. Paul was born into the kingdom of God when he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. We see him on the road to Damascus as a born-again Christian saying, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? But from that moment on, Paul began to grow. He got bigger and bigger. He became more and more mature. And even as he neared death, Paul said, I still haven't attained. I still haven't apprehended. I still am not there. I am not perfect. Paul said he wasn't. I have not gained that state that I want. But there's one thing I do, that it has become the central issue of my life, to become mature in Christ Jesus. There's maturity in mind, a growth in knowledge. And then there's a maturity in walk. In verse 16, Paul said, Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. This word attain means to come to or to do. The word walk means to go in order, to advance in rows or by rank. Walk according to a rule. The word rule has in it the idea of a measuring rod or line. What's Paul saying? He is saying that we should walk in an orderly fashion, that we should march as an army marches, that we should walk in step. And according to the drummer. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Paul is saying, whatever be the point in life that we have reached, let us persevere in the same course. We might better think of this as walking in a particular pathway. And Paul is saying, we have gotten to a certain point because we have disciplined ourselves to march orderly. We have chosen the right path. And we have chosen to walk according to a rule, that is, according to certain qualifications. We're not bursting into a full speed running. We're not just stumbling along. He said, we have ordered our walk. You know, there's something in a person who decides to walk a certain distance and they find the path to walk on, but then they order or they have a certain speed to their walking. You know, if you're going to walk, you don't burst into a run and then stop and then just go from place to place. You stay in the pathway and you keep a measured step. And those who have been in service know that you can march at a certain pace and you can predict almost to the feet how far you'll be in a certain period of time. And if you keep that pace, you can keep it up for many hours and you can get to where you're going. And this is what Paul is saying. We have walked in a certain pathway and we have walked according to certain rules and we have got to a certain point. Now if you want to go any further, you'll have to walk the same pathway and you'll have to walk according to the same rules. It's not fair to change the rules in the middle of a game, and God isn't going to change the rules that we walk by just because we get 45-year-old or 50-year-old or 60-year-old. You'll walk by the same rule book that you started walking by when you were first saved. And Paul said, don't look at the inviting side roads. Maturity is to find the right one and stay on it and to keep on walking. You got where you were, you got where you are by a certain way. Keep on walking in that way. Oftentimes people live very effectively for the Lord for a number of years, and then they just taper off into anonymity. And this is the very thing that Paul is warning us against. That we shouldn't lessen the pace. We shouldn't stop to investigate the little byways and the little hedges and inviting playgrounds that are along the way. Because when you do, you get sidetracked. It's like the dog that I spoke of last Sunday, who early in the morning jumped a deer, ran the deer until he crossed the trail of a rabbit, chased the rabbit until he crossed the trail of a squirrel, and ran the squirrel until he had crossed the trail of a rat, and then spent the rest of the day barking into a rat hole. That's exactly what Paul is warning us against. Don't get involved with side issues that take you away from God. Don't get involved in things that will not let you stay on the pathway that got you to where you are. Keep on walking the way that you've always walked. There's something to be said about a leisurely drive to some place in our country where you can just investigate all the different interesting things that come up as you drive along, but it's not a good way to get somewhere. In other words, if you say we're going to a certain place, it's 600 miles, and we really need to stay on the road, and we need to drive 60, we need to drive 55, we need to set right on the edge and just keep after it if we're going to get there. You know, there are people who don't want to stay at the 55 that we're supposed to stay at in order to get as far as we can. Now, it's not the idea that, you know, we've really been hitting it here for now 5 years, 10 years, so let's drop back now to about, you know, leisurely 35 and we can explore here and there. You know, we need, Paul said, I press toward the mark. That is, I keep on pressing the thing. You know, I've set my spiritual drive control. I've set it at just the peak of what I'm able to do. And Paul said, I'm going to leave it there just as long as I can and go just as far as I can. Some way, somehow, we got the idea that if, you know, as Missionary Baptist people, that we memorize, you know, 15 or 20 doctrinal statements, and that if we would memorize these doctrinal statements, then we were mature Christians and we could live about any way we wanted to then, that maturity was memorizing the Missionary Baptist doctrines or creed. And then if we knew that, well, we could go to church or give or not go or witness, whatever we chose. We'd be real mature people. That attitude breeds smallness. You can't be mature in mind and not be mature in walk. You say, I know all about the doctrines of the Bible. Well, what do you do about the doctrines of the Bible? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Jesus asked a very embarrassing question when he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I ask you? Obey not in word only, but in deed. If a man say he have faith, James says, show me thy faith by thy work. If you're wearing diapers and sucking on a bottle, don't tell me how mature you are. Carry your bag of disposable diapers and suck on your spiritual bottle and then gloat in some spiritual maturity you assume you've made. Don't tell me what you once were. Don't tell me how you once shined for God, how you once worked for God. Now you've got a letter of excuse from God. Don't tell me that. I know better. And so do you. In verse 17, Paul mentions maturity in example. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have are here, as ye have us for an example. This word followers is a word that is translated imitator in other places. Brethren, be imitators together of me. But you say, preacher, I've always heard that the Bible teaches us we're not to be followers of men. And yet Paul writes, be ye imitators of me. And I think he clarifies that in another verse of Scripture where he has written, and follow me as I follow Christ. When a man departs from following Christ, we're not obligated to follow him another inch. Loyalty, love, devotion, whatever else we might have toward any man in this world when he seeks to follow some other line, some other person, some other thought other than Jesus Christ, we're not obligated to step one inch further with that man. And you say, well, then we have the preacher for an example. He's our example. That's not exactly what Paul is saying. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Paul is saying that in the church at Philippi, there are people who walk like I walked when I was with you, and mark them and follow them as they follow Christ. The word here that's translated mark is scopos. And it means to watch an object. An object set up in the distance at which one looks and aims. Brother Goodman and I were laughing a couple of Sundays ago about a man who's a mutual acquaintance. Said when he was a young man and learning how to plow with a team, turning plow, that his father rebuked him because he was plowing crooked furrows. And he told him, son, what you've got to do is find something across the field in the distance and put your eye on that object and you watch that object. And don't look at everything around you. Don't stare at the front of the plow, but look at that object. And then you can plow a straight line. And this gentleman did what his father told him to do. He picked out a cow. And he watched that cow. And you can very well imagine what kind of line he plowed. Now Paul said, look, brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us, that's plural, not me, us, for an example. The word that's translated example means type. Anything produced by repeated blows, a mark or impression, a model, a pattern. You know, if you hollowed out a piece of hard wood, drew some type of design, and then dug it out and you poured some metal on that, then it would bear the image. It would be the type, that place you digged out of the wood, that would be the type. And Paul is saying, you follow these people because they are an example, they are a mold, they are a pattern of what you are to be. Not just the preacher. Now, I know that this may seem a little far-fetched because all of us look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. But Jesus is in heaven. And we can't always see him because of our problems and our tears. But there ought to be persons in the church that you can see. People who have weathered the storm. People who have earned a maturity that inspires you to live your life righteously, holy, in the sight of God. You young women, there ought to be some older mother of Israel in this church. There ought to be more than one. There ought to be many to whom you can look and say, I can't see Jesus, but I can see a woman who acts like Jesus. The younger men in our church may not be able to always view the Son of God as in looking unto Jesus, but brethren, there ought to always be some older men, men of maturity, to whom these young men can look and say, that is a godly man who lives a godly life, and I want to be like that man. And God help us if there aren't some examples or types in the church, male and female, who are adequate, who fill this bill for our people to look at. Not just young in age, but young as far as the faith is concerned. Young Christians. We know that there's Jesus. We know that there's the Bible. We know their past experiences and the things that we have tried and the things that we have found to be true. But imitate me. Mark those people in the congregation who have a maturity. And follow them, Paul said. Pattern your life after them. I know it's important to be saved. I know it's the most glorious thing. It's the beginning, though. We need to be mature. And if we aren't, Paul said, I've not reached perfection, we ought to keep trying to be better and bigger, to know more, to do more, to be more dependable, to be more loving, to be more concerned, to have more of a burden. If we're not growing in these areas, then we're just not reaching the maturity that we must reach in order to effectively serve God.